Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
You know what that is? Sound of water out of a faucet into a hose in the backyard and onto the tomatoes. You can't do this from Michigan Avenue, the old Tribune Tower that I've left, and you can't do this from the Prudential Building, and I guarantee someday I'll be there. And I'll show up in my sterile workspace and bring my little laptop and try to decorate my desk with little tchotchke and make it a home. But right now, I've got to water those tomatoes. In the Suburban Bureau of the Chicago Tribune, this is John Cass, Jeff Carlin, and this is the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
We've got so much to talk about today in this special edition of the Chicago Way. Just think of it as trimmed Casso in elemental form. No fat, really, no frills, just me and the West Suburban Bureau with Zeus the Wonder Dog and my gorgeous tomatoes. It's short enough so you can listen in the car while doing errands, picking up some peaches maybe. My resident soccer experts love peaches, and one of them will join us in a bit. But right now, as I look around with the birds singing and the garden growing, far away from the hustle and bustle of political life, I realize an eternal truth. I'm just a lonely conservative standing on a cookie, floating in that sea of liberal milk. The cookie's crumbling. It might be an anisette biscotti. And I can see Maxine Waters' dorsal fins like the predator from the deep. Okay, so let's just get to it. First, we've got that Supreme Court decision that just came down, Janus versus AFSCME, a landmark decision. And a man wise in the Chicago Way wrote in the Chicago Tribune over the weekend, who could that be? That Janus would just strip the political muscle from blue state Democrats. But will it help beleaguered Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner? We'll get into that. And we'll get into the Bernie bros of the far socialist left, flush with victory over the Democrats in their congressional primaries. Are you listening, Nancy Pelosi? And what about Maxine Waters and the mobocracy spitting when Republicans try to go see the Mr. Rogers movie? There's a truly important thing, though, in all of this. It's my poor tomatoes. I don't really need that faucet. There's been so much rain lately that I think one of my tomato plants, the lovely San Marzano for my smoked tomato sauce, might be dead. It's holding on, but the top is wilting. It sat in water for days, and now it's drooping, the leaves turning down like Maxine Waters' frown. And if it dies, that leaves me only with 22 tomato plants. Are 22 enough for Casso? Who knows? Nothing exceeds like excess, but I do know one thing. I do know the love that the left and Maxine Waters bear me as I sit on my sugar cookie in the sea of liberal milk. And Maxine loves every one of you, too. It's all about love, Maxine. And there's nothing like returning love with a song. So I thought I'd give Maxine a song, just for friendship's sake. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? could you be mine? Maxine? Just don't spit at me when I'm buying tickets to a Mr. Rogers movie and don't have me evicted from a chicken restaurant because I love good chicken. Don't you love good chicken? Even Antifa thugs with their Guy Fawkes masks and their black mufti and their bold fists loves chicken. Just don't spit in my face and tell me it's raining. That's not a good neighbor. So won't you be mine? Could you be mine without the spitting, Maxine? First up, Janice. Some Democrats, well, Rahm and all the rest, will tell you this is all about all unions. It's not. It's not about building unions, carpenters, plumbers, and so on in the private sector who've been abandoned by Democrats and who now vote Republican. It's just not. It's about the public worker government unions like AFSCME and SEIU, who for years charged what they call agency fair share fees to government workers who've opted out of the union. They've insisted they should get the money because the workers are represented in labor contracts. But the government unions are of the left, the hard left. They insist they should get the money from non-member workers because the workers are represented. But government unions are of the left. They get political contributions and they back candidates who then raise taxes to pay for those political contributions. The contributions are given to Democrats and some Republicans, too. But here's the thing. What if you don't like the politicians the unions are helping? Should you have to give up your money to keep your job? Even Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, the most pro-union president in our nation's history, thought it was a corrupt and unethical relationship. He was opposed to it. He saw the problems. And here's what happened the other day. The Supreme Court did an historic thing. They reversed an old ruling of theirs from some 40 years ago. And the new ruling says that this is essentially a First Amendment issue. From Justice Samuel Alito Jr.'s majority opinion. And I read this, quote, states and public sector unions may no longer extract agency fees from non-consenting employees, Alito wrote for the majority. This procedure violates the First Amendment and cannot continue. We'll talk about this with other experts in the next podcast. So I hope you subscribe to the Chicago Way. Find us at WGN Plus or the link at the bottom of my column, or just, you know what, just go to iTunes, damn it, and be done with it and have it in your phone so you listen to it in the car. Without commercials, and sadly, without sponsors. Everybody needs money. And for now, Janice means the Democrats are going to lose some. They're upset, they're weakened, and if public workers opt out of unions, guess what? The workers will still get their benefits and their health care. I repeat, the workers will still get their health care. But when public worker unions were given the opportunity in Indiana and Wisconsin to opt out and keep their money in their pockets, guess what they did? They opted out, 80 to 90%. And without taxpayers subsidizing public worker unions and their politics out of their own pockets, without people being taxed heavily so that Democratic machines could reward their allies in organized labor, guess what happened? Those states changed, and businesses and jobs and prosperity came to them. They left Illinois, the jobs went to Indiana, the jobs went to Wisconsin. So this change spells advantage for Republicans in 2020. But does it really translate into help for Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner in November? Rauner was one of the leaders on Janice. He held an executive order and filed a lawsuit just after he was elected. That was significant. Now, I know some conservatives don't want to give Rauner credit, and I've criticized him on other matters. But you know, the thing is, he deserves credit. At least a Janice link-up, a Janice lifeline, something. He'll point to it. He was on the news the other day talking about how this is his legacy. I wrote that Sunday. Yeah, maybe it is his legacy. But his election is only a few months away. So will AFSCME and SIU and their 40,000 boots on the political ground in Illinois alone walk away from Democrat J.B. Pritzker? I don't think so. Not yet. They're in a fight for survival now, or at least that's what the union bosses will tell their membership to keep them in the tribes. For now. And conservatives aren't about to forgive Rauner for betraying them on sanctuary cities and taxpayer-funded abortion, are they? No. I don't think those grassroots conservatives are coming home. So I think this Pritzker cake has already been baked. I could be wrong. I'm not rarely wrong about politics, but I could be wrong here. You know, that cake, it's full of sugar in Illinois and chocolate in Illinois and bananas in Illinois. It's like one of those atomic cakes from Weber Bakery. Yeah, another place I like that doesn't sponsor us. But I love those cakes. You know, Boss Madigan doesn't eat cake. He knows Weber. He lives right near there. But he's not a big cake guy. He eats apples, remember? J.B. Pritzker, on the other hand, oh, he loves the cake. And he'll eat the whole thing. Taxpayers and all.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse.
Now for the other item. The media. The media is so consumed with Trump, Trump this, Trump that. He's a Russian Cheeto, a Nazi, and all the rest. And he's clearly vulgar and doesn't have good manners. And a lot of people might like what he's doing, but don't like how he says it or what he says. I'm one of those. With all this Trump, Trump this, Trump that, media's gorging on it because it gives you clicks if you hate him, if you love him. It gives you viewers. You can cry about children in cages, but if you didn't cry about the children in cages under Obama, then I don't know why you're crying, unless you're just a phony and an actor. But with all this Trump stuff, the media, and I'm in the media, we've forgotten to look around because there's a Democratic civil war going on, people, and they've missed it. You guys in the Beltway, you know, out there in Washington, in the Palace of Versailles, with your powdered wigs and your rouge on your cheeks and your little belt buckles on the shoes, just like in Ridicule, one of those movies I love. You're out there in Versailles and you still don't get it. Conventional wisdom? My ass. You thought Hillary was going to win, even though a wise man steeped in the Chicago Way predicted 8 months before the election, and who would that be, that she couldn't win. And now, many of the media, the pundits in the modern Versailles, have missed it coming from the other side. We saw the right crumble. We saw the tepid establishment Republican center crumble. And now you're seeing the Democratic center crumble too. And it crumbles to the left. Because here's Bernie Sanders congratulating Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a former campaign organizer for Sanders' presidential campaign. She shocked the world by defeating Representative Joe Cowley, Democrat of New York, in her congressional primary. She took on the entire local Democratic establishment in her district and won a very strong victory, Sanders said. She demonstrated once again what progressive grassroots politics can do.
We absolutely do need to make sure that our borders are secure, to make sure that people are safe in passage. But what we need to realize and remember is that ICE was established in 2003, right at the same time as the Patriot Act, the AUMF, the Iraq War. And we look back at a lot of that time and legislation as a mistake now. And I think that ICE is right there as a part of it. It has its extrajudicial nature is baked in to the structure of the agency. And that is why they're able to get away with black sites at our border, with the separation of children. We are committing human rights abuses on this border and separating children from their families.
Ocasio-Cortez is a 28-year-old socialist. She's a first-time candidate. She upset Crowley, Democratic establishment man who hasn't faced a political primary challenger in 14 years. He was viewed as a potential House Speaker. So the real energy in the Democratic Party, when they're not spitting on Republicans trying to watch the Mr. Rogers movie, is on the hard, hard left. And Ms. Ocasio-Cortez? How hard left is hard left? Well, let's think. Is a federal jobs guarantee hard left enough for you? A guarantee of federal jobs. Who pays for that? I don't know. And how about no borders? Oh yeah, no borders. And the elimination of ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office. Who needs ICE when you don't have borders? Who needs border agents? That's so illogical. Let's just get rid of borders. Let's just call ourselves the good people of Soros and be done with it. And then we can sit in the sun, tranquilized on the steps of the Obama Temple of Love and Fealty, just like the gentle Eloy in the Time Machine movie, and we can wait for the Morlocks to blow their horn when they get hungry.
Stand there like fatted cattle. Will you answer me?
Not me. I'm woke, man. Even the Russians abandoned that bit about guaranteed jobs and all that commie stuff. No matter how attractive it might sound to nincompoops, the thing is, and I really wish your professors had told you, but they kept it a secret from you because they thought you were stupid, so you'd make good little obedient Eloy. The thing is that free this and free that and milk and honey from government lords, you know what that is? Caca. It doesn't work. It's the Karl Marx Big Rock Candy economic plan. Just like that song Pete Seeger used to sing, sending thrills up socialist legs. The Russians tried it and they went broke and blind drinking cheap vodka. The Big Rock Candy Mountain economic theory didn't work so well, did it? East Germany tried it too, and others. They all abandoned it. But here, in America, we think we're special, huh? Things are changing. On the right, you saw what happened. It happened in 2016, and now on the left, it's happening. Wake up, or woke, or whatever you want to call it. Open your eyes. Maybe it's best you just close your eyes and sleep. Sleep. Go to sleep, my sheeple. Go to sleep.
Por eso la diferencia debía ser más amplia.
Ahí va Cuauhtémoc por el tercero. Para Luis, 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 Luis.
Lindo, lindo. I love that song. As a fan of El Tri, Mexico, and you know Trump is going to invite them to the White House when they win the World Cup. It's just beautiful. Although I've just been told that perhaps a better song might be the sad music from the Titanic to suggest because Germany lost. Either way, was there ever such a World Cup as this? Drama, heartbreak, upsets, gnashing of teeth nationally, Ronaldo's manic brilliance, and Messi playing soccer as if he's in an Ingmar Bergman movie. The sad little man playing chess with death. And Germany. Oh, Germany. Germany, the World Cup champions of 2014, are going home. Imagine the bleak existence for them, for Thomas Müller and Toni Kroos. A silence, waves crashing on a rocky beach, polite tight smiles from strangers, half-hearted nods from passers-by at the sausage shop, pity in their eyes, and anger for Germany. But Mexico, The shirt, as they say, was almost too heavy for them. They were almost gone. But the Germans said, no, the shirt is really too heavy for us. And Germany lost to South Korea. And though Mexico also lost, they're into the next round. The group of 16. The knockout round. An amazing turn of events for El Tri. And they will have their cake and eat it too. And now joining me to talk about this is one of my soccer experts, my son Spiro, because Peter's at work. What a game. And Spiro's here to talk about it.
It was really kind of disappointing in a sense for Mexico to advance, even though they had lost 3-0. Kind of by the skin of their teeth, really. At the end of the game, Germany was still tied 0-0 all the way into the 80th minute. Could have gone either way. Luckily for Mexico, they had a center forward who was actually a center back, Mats Hummels, who missed three chances, could have put the game away for Germany and could have put them through the next round.
All they needed was to win against who?
South Korea.
South Korea. The Germans could not win. Their cars are better than South Korean cars, as we know. But the Germans just couldn't get the points they needed. And therefore, they don't deserve to be in the final round.
Yeah, they really showed a lack of leadership, I would say. Even with Thomas Müller and Neuer, they were missing a certain guy who plays in Chicago.
Who's that man?
He might be known to some as the German giant of the Chicago Fire, Bastian Schweinsteiger.
He wears Armani. Yeah. He's very stylish, and his wife is beautiful. They're like the lead couple. I think they're even above Rahm and Amy Ruhl as the lead couple of Chicago.
I'm not going to comment on politics.
Okay, thank you. So who do you pick now of the ones that are in?
I really think that Croatia is probably the strongest team of the teams that have qualified. I would say that the play of Modric and Rakitic, especially against Argentina, was very telling. And especially in World Cup games when controlling the game and the flow of the game is very important, you want a team that can hold on to the ball and also have two of those players who can pick a forward pass whenever they feel like it.
And they are really, just outstanding. They're the best midfield in the tournament. I think Belgium still thinks they have a chance, no?
Belgium looks good. They have played against very weak opposition in Tunisia and Panama.
But who do they have?
Which I am very happy about, by the way, to see Panama lose those two games.
Why is that?
Well, they qualified under some seriously questionable circumstances and cost a certain country a spot in the World Cup this year.
We don't want to get too under the weeds, and as we close into the weeds, but as we close, I'm pulling for Mexico because I think that if Mexico wins, and then Trump invites El Tri to the White House, and Chicharito sits on his lap, and everyone laughs, and they love each other, and Trump pays for the cake, tres leches, of course, that it will fuel the American soccer revival. Our soccer officials will be so incensed that Trump is hugging Chicharito and my favorite player, Guardado, lungs of iron, that they will be so embarrassed that they will have to redo soccer in America and maybe not make it just for rich kids, but for everybody.
I mean, I would say that the rebuild process has already began. The friendlies that the United States played going up to the World Cup, especially against France, looked very well, and the soccer future is bright for the United States.
But that's in the future. That's like counting your chickens before they hatched, or your golden egg-laying geese before you eat the geese, because that's what we do in Illinois. Right now, it's the round of 16, and quick note to editors, don't expect me to be in the Tribune Tower until the games are over. When this tournament is over, I've already been to the tower, I've seen my little workspace, I enjoy it, but when the tournament is over, I'll leave the beautiful confines of the West Suburban Bureau and head downtown, but for now, I just got to step in there and watch some soccer. Or come down in a few days to see Jeff Carlin and my other friends. Because you know what we're going to do? Another one. Another one of what? Another one of the Chicago Way. Thanks for being here. For Jeff Carlin, this is John Cass. Talk to you soon, everybody.